Turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, or if you don't want to, it'll be on the screen for you, okay? So I will make it a little easier, especially if you've got carpal tunnel or something like that. You'll be able to just look at the screen. You know, I never thought about this, Brother Andy, but this is kind of cool. If I'm just reading these verses right here to the people online, they think I'm almost like Jack Van Impe, that I know all this. And it's just right from my memory, all the Bible verses, but that's not true. I'm not. No, I have to look at all of them. So that guy was awesome. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. Now that's an important thing. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We read that verse all the time, and what happens is it becomes almost like a Hallmark card to us. And so we're like, yeah, I believe that. No, in all thy ways, including when what's happening right now in our country is happening, that's one of those ways, and how you respond to it. So in that, we're also supposed to do what? Trust in the Lord. What does that mean? Well, I just pray about trusting. No. The main thing of biblical trusting and faith is to trust what the Bible says. It's not just praying for something and hoping. The main deal is seeing what God has to say in his word, believing it, and then acting on it. That's the real deal of trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So tonight, I want to look at what's going on in our country right now and look at three things. The first one is Christians should not be racist. They shouldn't. And the Bible's very clear on this. Let me show you. Romans 5:12. You go to that, Romans 5:12, you're like, why are you going to this verse on this? Well, look at it. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered in the world. Well, let me give you the logic on this. You know why that is? All of us, death passed upon all men, it says. The reason is because by that one man, from him came everyone. We all have a sin nature because we all came from one man. And it came from the blood. This is why, the whole thing about Jesus being virgin born is important. It's not just something weird that we believe. It's really important. So that he didn't fit in this equation. So he could be a perfect sacrifice for us. Be a human, yet be unblemished. Yet the rest of us do fit in this equation. Why? Because we all came from Adam. Every single one of us. So the whole idea of being races of this or that or whatever, it's not really that biblical. We're all humans. We have different colors, different things. We're all humans. We all bleed, okay? And so, that's a verse that shows that. Going to John, the next verse is John chapter 4, 1 through 10, just looking at that. It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, and go on to the next one. It says, he must needs go through Samaria. Now, that's a weird verse because he didn't need to go through Samaria. Because if he did like most Jews, he didn't go through Samaria. But Jesus needed to go through Samaria. One of the things I get to do is edit the pastor's sermons. And so I'm going back and to put on the radio. And, of course, it's quite a bit behind what he's doing currently. But that's just the way it is. And one of the things I get to do is re-listen. Shout out to our pastor. He's a really good preacher. And I'm catching that, more and more as I listen to sermons over and over again. And one of the things he pointed out is this is a Jesus appointment. He needed to go through Samaria. Nobody else did, but Jesus did. If you know anything about the Samaritans, Jews didn't like them. In fact, when you go through, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew? So look, it's not that he was like this, like some Jews are racist. This was just a fact. They didn't do this. This is how widespread it was that she's amazed and she asks him, how is it that thou being a Jew asketh me, which are a woman of Samaria, for Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Okay? And so that's what I've got people send me texts while I'm trying to read my notes. Anyway, that's why this whole thing, Jesus is different. And he shows us this by going to this woman when most people, most Jews, would not have done so. Jesus also told the story of the good Samaritan. He did that on purpose. Did he have to put that in the story? No, he did. Okay, John 8:48. Now look at how ugly racism is. This is the Pharisees, they're talking to Jesus, and they're getting mad about what he's saying. Then answered the Jews and said to him, "Say we not well, thou art a Samaritan?" Jesus is a Samaritan. "Then thou hast the devil." They're just throwing that out as a slur against him. I mean, this is just ugly. This is just ugly. Acts 1:8. Here is the church. Where are they supposed to go? Stay in Jerusalem. No. They're supposed to go to Jerusalem, to all Judea, Samaria, and then what? The uttermost parts of the earth. To a Jew, you know who dwells out there? Gentiles. Those dirty Gentiles. Yeah, dogs. That's God says that's where you're supposed to go. Okay? And so I just want you to see this thing of racism. If you want to find it as a Christian, and you're like, well, the reason is when these things pop up, and nobody has to raise their hand, but we have tendencies to respond in racist ways to them. And I think as a Christian, what I want you to see tonight on point number one is that's not Jesus' heart. There's a bigger picture. And we have to get beyond that if we're going to see things in the right perspective. The biblical viewpoint on this is not racist. It's just not. Romans 11:17-21. Romans 11:17-21. And some of the branches, and if some of the branches be broken off, and now, this is speaking of Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. What is he talking about? Well, what he's been talking about this portion of Romans is how that the Jews, the salvation thing, they need to accept it. Yes, it's different from what you thought of before. Yes, it is. This whole thing of there's Gentiles can be God's people. Yes, anybody can be that are saved. They're grafted into this branch. They're grafted in. Now, what could happen is you could have the Gentiles then think, oh, we're something. And he's warning them against this. Boast not against the branches, against the Jews. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Okay? Go ahead and go to the next thing there. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. See that? Paul's so cool because he anticipates what people think, and then he gives an argument against it. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Not because of their race, because of unbelief. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Now, this isn't a verse about losing your salvation. It's a verse to Gentiles in general that's saying, look, the whole deal is belief or unbelief, not your skin color, not where you were born. Don't feel high and mighty now because we put you in and look down on the Jews. Don't do that. Have fear. The whole deal is you need to believe just like everybody needs to believe. It's not based on race, where you came from, or any of that. It's based on who accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's what it's all about. James 2, and those verses there, to talk about this whole thing of favoritism. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there also come in a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? Now you're saying, well, this just have to do with race. Well, what they're doing is discriminating based on something that God doesn't care about how much money somebody has or social status. And he's saying, don't you treat people different based on that. Okay. Don't treat them different on that. He goes on and he lists the sin that's here. Go to the next verses there. He says, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? These things you value, that we value and look to distinguish, they're not important to God. In fact, sometimes he picks those the poor ones, the lesser that the world sees. Those are his prized people he likes to use. Yeah. Heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you? Hey, silly. It's these people you're honoring that oppress you. Okay? And draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which you recall? Go on to the next verses there. If you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That means anybody. Ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, and this is the general concept, and I would include race in this, ye commit sin and are convinced or convicted of the law as transgressors. This is an attitude that we are not supposed to have as Christians. And here's the deal. Ephesians 6:12 says this. Ephesians 6:12 talks about putting on the whole armor. And I know it's so easy to look at what's going on and to say, those people, number one, that's a bad thing to say. Grouping. Here's the deal. It's not those people anyway. You know what's going on right now? Spiritual warfare. Those people are just puppets. Those people, and I don't mean a certain race, I mean the people that are doing things that they should not be doing right now are puppets. There's a bigger player out there. And as Christians, we have to take a higher viewpoint. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is following when he's talking about putting on the armor of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the forces we're really supposed to be encountering, engaging, praying against, and mad at, if you want to be. The rest of this is puppets. Many of these people are doing these things. They're unsaved. They're manipulated by Satan and demonic forces, and that's what's going on. So number one, Christians, when we approach this, let's get the right mindset and try to get racism out of it. And why I say that is I'm not trying to say somebody's right that's doing some certain things. What I'm saying is to think clearly, we need to remove that. To think godly about it, we need to remove that. Number two, Christians should respect government authority. That is a general biblical principle. Go to Romans 12. You're like, wait a minute, Romans 13. No, I want you to go to Romans 12 first. Because if you didn't know, chapters were not originally in your Bible. I don't know if you know that. They were put in later. So chapter 13 actually follows a flow that begins in chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means I die every day. I put my body on the altar, not to die as a martyr, but to die to myself. Okay. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's what we need. The renewing of mind. That you may prove or show what is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Now, what he'll do in chapter 12 is he will go on after that and then talk about how we're supposed to treat people in the body of Christ. Some people we get along with pretty good. And then in verse 17 through 21, then it gets the rougher part. Go to those. He says, recompense, notice this, to no man evil for evil. Now, I go back to the racism thing because it's so easy. No raising hands. There's no need to. But how many, you know, just in your mind, use your mind hand, has said, but they did. I've done it. It's not the Christian response. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, which see, God knows, sometimes it's just rough. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So these verses then talk about those that we don't get along with, those that we may even label as our enemies. And the whole starting point was in verses 1 and 2, where we're to die to ourselves. This is a progression of spiritual maturity that goes through chapter 12 and then goes into 13. Then it gets to what the government's supposed to do in chapter 13. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, they say, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. Now, wait a minute. You're like, yeah, but there's some evil. Who was in power when he wrote this? Rome. I mean, they were all about civil rights and everything, right? This is Rome. And he's writing this. Of course, these aren't just Paul's words. This is God's word. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, that doesn't mean that they're right in everything they do. We're not talking about England's right of kings and all this. We're not talking about that. All right. But he says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resisteth shall receive to themselves damnation. Okay. Go on to the next verses there. For rulers are not a terror to good works, so they shouldn't be, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, or the ruler, is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. One of the things that people need to understand, and I know this is where people mess this up, this is a different institution than churches and thus Christians. In other words, President Trump's response to this and my response to it individually may be different and yet both correct. Now, I didn't just say that his response was correct. That doesn't get all political. I'm just saying, but it could be both. And you're like, how could that be? Because my thing is to want people to be saved, to care for others, to love my neighbor, to be an example, to shine as a light for Christ. That's not exactly the role of government. The role of government is to protect and to prosecute those that are wicked. That's the role of government. That's not my role. See, God created different institutions, and that's their role. So the whole thing of, and what I'm saying this for is I'm saying the whole deal of somehow breaking laws because we don't like something is wrong. That's wrong. Now, when is that okay? When the government's telling me to do something that God forbids. Yeah. And that's what Peter and John talked about. When they tried to tell him to do something, and it wasn't what God said. He said, we obey God rather than men. Otherwise, though, Christians should be, outside of that, some of the best citizens there are. You're like, why? I don't want to be a doormat. You're not being a doormat. What you're doing is realizing that my rights as American are not necessarily as high a priority as my witness as a Christian. That is the main deal. And I remember, I remember a fellow talking about this, I think it's Todd Friel, I think he was talking about it. And he said, do people at the water cooler, I don't know how many water coolers we have anymore at work, where you do water coolers, probably the fridge with the water bottles. But anyway, he said, do they know you more as a conservative or Republican or as a Christian? And what he means is, what do you talk about the most? Do they know you primarily as a Republican or a conservative or as a Christian? Which one? See, and that's a good question, because God would rather that we be known as Christians. And so I know this hurts because it's hard, isn't it? We got rights. I'm American. And I'm proud to be. But my Christianity should come above that. You know, one day America will pass away. One day it will. And everybody's going to go to heaven or hell. And so Paul had this bigger picture. And so that's what he talks about with this. The third thing is to think, act, and speak with eternal perspective and priorities. This is really the heart of what Pastor Josh has been going through in Philippians. This is an overall theme in Philippians. You know, I don't believe in being a Zen Buddhist or anything like that. But there is a kind of thing that a Christian should have. Not that, unlike the Buddhist and others, they don't recognize evil and bad things. They do. They're real. But they handle them and think about them in a different way. And that's what Paul had. He lived on a different plane because he thought of things in an eternal perspective. He saw things from eternity's view and not just for what's happening to me. And because of that, he had different priorities and perspectives, the right ones that we should all attain to. And these are different than what a lot of Christians have. Romans 13, going back to that and looking at verses 11 through 14. And that knowing the time, that now it's high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What he means is, Jesus can come back at any time. And really, if we think about it like that, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't matter. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't matter. What will last for eternity? That's the deal. You know, and I think I've used this perspective before, but you know, when they mess up my order, they do a great job. But when they mess up my order, for instance, hypothetical situation, at McDonald's, should I really get mad at them? That's a what happened to me perspective. The eternal perspective is, this is a chance for me to be different than other people. And say, you know what, everybody messes up. You know what, it's okay. Hey, do you go to church anywhere? That's a Paul perspective. And we can look at this thing with a different perspective too. We can too. We don't have to respond the same way that everybody else does. And by the way, I put in that, think, act, and speak. These days when we say speak, that means also what you put on Facebook. Yeah. Everything we put on Facebook like that should be something that holds the Paul perspective. And if not, we shouldn't put anything on there. Brother Chris. I know, I'm talking to myself too. I have to eat this message before you do. So, you know. Ephesians 6:12. We've already looked at this, but it's worth looking at again. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Stop looking at it as those people. There's a spiritual war behind the scenes. That's the real deal. We wrestle against principalities. Demonic forces is what it's talking about. And I can tell you, this isn't what's going on right now. And I think Fox News and different ones have had. There are forces that are doing evil right now. Was there something horrible done? Absolutely. It looks like there was a major injustice done. Are there people that are probably very outraged about it? Yes. But are there also forces that are working this for a political situation to accomplish things that to get certain people elected and things that we don't believe what they believe? And the Bible doesn't. Yes. Yes. There's spiritual activity at work, and that's what we really should be concentrating on and praying against. Philippians 1:27-28 will end with this. Only let your conversation, in the King James, that means your lifestyle, your behavior. Only let your conversation, the way you live, your day-by-day life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So, for instance, do people on Facebook know me as somebody that's angry and spouting all the time? They should. No. And by the way, Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? I mean, it's, you know. So that's what he's taught. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. See, he's got this thing that says, Paul's got this deal that says, hey, if you kill me, whoop, I go to heaven. If you don't, I'm serving God. Your choice. But Paul, you know what's happening? Let me say it again. If you kill me, I'm going to heaven. Put me in chains, I'm going to witness that guy you chained me to. Make me appear in court. It's an audience I don't get all the time. We're just going to let you go. Fine, I'll keep doing what I'm doing. Do you see that? You can't beat it. In nothing terrified by your adversaries. Why? Because none of them are as big as God. In the end, I know what the back of the book says. We win. Yeah. Which is to them an evident token of perdition, or that means that they're destruction because of what they're doing. But to you, salvation, and that of God. We are God's people. We are children of the King. So, and I ain't perfect, so I'm going to stand up here, you know. I've got stuff I got to work on, or God works on for me. But we all do. But might we all have this mindset and be careful, because there's so many things, and this latest thing, it's really easy to react the wrong way. But we also have a chance to shine during this thing. And any time there's darkness, we have a time to shine and to be different. And so that's what I wanted to encourage you with tonight.